Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke, where we've been studying for the last almost 6 months, 7 months. Be in Luke chapter 9. Let's stand together, if you would, the book of Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. We'll begin reading at verse 28. Luke 9 and verse 28. And it came to pass about and 8 days after these things, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him 2 men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awaked, they saw his glory and the 2 men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. And while he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was parted, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of these things which they had seen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your glory. And Lord, sometimes we forget that glory. Sometimes we forget your power and your awesomeness. But Lord, may we never forget what you have done for us at Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for your love, for your patience, and Lord, for your soon return. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse 28. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings. What sayings? Well, it's being reading at verse 23 as we studied last week. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me, and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. After these sayings, in verse 23, if any would follow Jesus. You know, it's easy to say you're going to be a disciple of Jesus when you're sitting here in an auditorium with fellow believers. But if any would follow Jesus, they must be willing to deny oneself. You know, one of the problems we have is that we don't want to deny ourselves because we live in a give it to me and give it to me now society. I want it and I deserve it and I can't afford it. I'll put it on my credit card. What is it the average American owes about $12,000 on his credit card? Yes, but we need to deny ourselves. We need to take up the cross. The Bible says what on Sunday mornings from 11 to 12? Daily. We're to daily take up his cross if we're going to follow Jesus. And if we're going to follow him, we must do it. You know, it's one thing to say you're going to do something. It's another thing to actually do it. How many of you have ever said, I'm going on a diet? Yes. Daily. Yes. And how often do we fail after 4 or 5 days? The other day, I was talking to someone, and they said they lost 20-some pounds. I believe, Brother Sills, you said you'd lost 22 pounds. And what happened? You gained it back. You gained it back. Isn't that terrible? Man, if I lost 22 pounds and I gained it back, I'd probably commit Harry Carey. Man, oh man. But how often we say we're going to do something, and then we have good intentions. But I tell you what, if we're going to make a decision to follow Christ and we tell him, folks, don't swear something to the Lord that you're not planning on carrying through. Verse 24, we are to realize that our life is worthless unless we give it over to him fully. See, I don't care how much money you have in your savings account. I don't care how many rings are on your fingers. I don't care how many times that you have been on a cruise. I don't care how big your house is, how green your grass is, how pretty your car is. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you are worthless. I mean, we live in America and we have so much, and yet we have so many worthless people in America because all they think about is material things. Someone as well asked, as we have Thanksgiving Day, to whom will we be thankful? And far too many people are thankful to the Bank of America. Too many people are thankful to their MasterCard or Visa. But we need to be thankful to God. Verse 25, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain all he wants and loses his soul? Or becomes a castaway. Remember, the Apostle Paul was worried about becoming a castaway. Having preached once and then got away from the truth and was cast away. Verse 26, though, should scare us to death. If we are ashamed of Christ and his word, he will be ashamed of us. I remember one time I came home with a report card. And I remember my mother said to me, Paul, I am ashamed of you. And you know what she did? She taped it on the mirror in my bedroom. So that every morning I would get up and I would see this thing that made her say, I'm ashamed of you. I was so glad when she took it down. Wow. But can you imagine our Lord being ashamed of us? But if we're ashamed of him, if we are not willing to live according to his words, because we're ashamed of his word, then he will be ashamed of us. But let us continue. We find that now some, that being Peter, James, and John, would see firsthand for a brief moment the glorified Messiah. They are going to be taken up into a mount, and Christ is going to pray. Now, someone would say, why Peter? Why James? Why John? Well, it could be because James would be the first disciple martyred. It could be because Peter would be the one who would preach at Pentecost. It could be because John would be the writer of the book of Revelation. It could be the reason, or it could be that they were the ones that were the most willing to pray. We're not told, but the three of them go up into the mountain to pray. May I say this, and I doubt that Brother Schultz would disagree with this thought, but every church needs prayer warriors. Be it here in Sterling Heights, Michigan, or be it in Tanzania, what we need are people who are willing to pray, to get a hold of the throne of God, and to pray. I ask you this question, and may I say thank you for the many cards that you have sent to Don and myself and to my dad, and I'm sure to Jim and Lori in the passing of my mother. But I ask you this, who's going to take her place as a prayer warrior here at the Covenant Baptist Church? See, we have lost something very important. See, not only have I lost the mother, but I have lost the church member that I could go with my thoughts and say, Mother, you need to pray for me. You need to pray about this situation, and I knew she would do it. See, we need people who are willing to pray. And it says in verse 28 that they went up to pray. And in verse 29, as he prayed, things happen when you pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. And his raiment was white and glistering. We find that he changed. The countenance changed, not in human form, but a spiritual likeness as he glowed. It says glistering. That means to glitter, to sparkle, to have a radiance. We remember the story when Moses came down from the mount after having seen just the hinder part of the Lord Jehovah. The people could not look upon him because he glowed. And they covered his face with a covering. Jesus said he is the light of the world. But he also said men love what? Darkness. For their deeds are what? Evil. But Jesus is the light. Light reveals things, doesn't it? In the month of December, I will get a postcard from a high school student of mine. My co-student. We were students. We graduated from Stevenson High School, and I said Stevenson High School. Some of you go to Ford High School or have graduated from there. I'm sorry. And some of you have even went to Utica High, and I'm sure you wish you could have gone to Stevenson. Yeah, well, let's be good, folks. We have guests. Yeah. But I'll be going there because he is now a dentist. And he'll be sending a postcard, and he'll be saying, your appointment is such and such, and please make sure you are here and bring your money. But you know one thing I know, that when I sit down in that chair, you know what they're going to shine in my mouth? A light. A light. Why do they shine that light in my mouth? Because they're just amazed at what's in there. They want to see what's in there. They're going to see if I've flossed. They're going to see if I've brushed my teeth. They're going to look in there and they're going to go, I don't know. I thought as you grow older, your teeth got better, not worse. Yeah, isn't that true? No, okay. But the light reveals things. And Jesus is the light of the world. Yet how many give up the glory of the Lord for the darkness of sin and evil behavior? How often will they walk away from the Lord, clutching to worthless and price things that are of no value? Last week in our bulletin, we had this little illustration. I'll read it again to you. It says, once a child was raising a frightful cry when he had shoved his hand into the opening of a very expensive Chinese vase, or is it vase, and then couldn't pull it out again. Parents and neighbors tugged with all their might on the child's arm, hoping to free him, which only caused the child to howl even louder. Finally, there was nothing left to do but to break the beautiful, expensive vase. Then, as the mournful heap of shards lay on the table, it became clear why the child had been so hopelessly stuck. His little fist grasped a paltry penny, which he spied in the bottom of the vase, and which he, in his childish ignorance, would not let go. And yet how many of us are that way? We grasp onto something that's worthless, giving up something that is priceless. We find in verses 30 and 31 that Jesus is talking with two men, Moses and Elijah. These are the two witnesses of the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 3, I believe. And the conversation concerns Christ's coming suffering, rejection, crucifixion, and resurrection. We know in verse 22 of this chapter, Jesus warned them of these things, the disciples, and now he is talking with these two men. And they're talking about what's laying ahead for the Lord. May I say this? Jesus died on the cross. It wasn't plan B. It was what he came to do. He came to die for our sins. He knew that God the Father would not accept anything that man could offer, but only what he himself, as God, could do on our behalf. And Jesus was willing to do this. In verses 32 and 33, we find that Peter, ever willing to say something. Have you ever noticed that some people don't like silence? If I were to stand here for the next 3 minutes and didn't say a thing, you know what some of you would do? You would look at your cell phone because you have to be doing something. You would want to whisper because we struggle with silence. We struggle with it. But the Bible tells us, be still. Be still. But we find here that Peter says a stupid thing. He says, let us build three tabernacles. One for you, Jesus. One for Moses and one for Elijah. Don't ever, ever put Jesus on the same level as humans. Did you hear what I said? Don't ever put Jesus on the same level as a common man. And yet there are many who will say, well, he was a good man. He was a prophet. But he wasn't deity. No, he is deity. He is God. But then in verses 34 through 36, as we read, we find four things. We find, number one, a cloud. Clouds are good, aren't they? I heard a no out there. I mean, rain comes in clouds. Aren't you glad for rain? Absolutely. Snow comes in clouds. Aren't you glad for rain? Yes. I understand hunters like snow. That way they can tell if there's any deer nearby. Pray for Rudy. 3 days he's gone out looking for Bambi, and Bambi eluded him. Yes. I didn't hear what you said, but you're going after him again, right? Okay. But there was a cloud. A cloud that apparently they knew was different than any other cloud that there was in the sky. And then there was a voice coming out of the cloud. How many of you remember when your parents used the voice? And you suddenly realized, I had better listen. You know, there's the voice of suggestion, and then there's the voice of, I've had enough, I'm coming after you. Now, I don't know about today and parents and what they do when it comes to discipline, but how many of you had a parent that was not afraid to take their belt off and apply it to where it was meant to be? Yes, yes. How many of you remember your dad saying, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you? And how many of you said, I don't think so? Yes. There was the voice, but there was a voice out of this cloud, and there was fear. Wouldn't you be fearful? You have just experienced Jesus in a form they had never seen before, glowing so brightly that they knew there was a difference. And now there's this cloud and a voice is coming out of it, and there's a decree that's being said. This is my beloved Son, hear him. Hear him, Peter. Hear him, James. Hear him, John. And can I go a step further? Hear him, Pastor Stephen. Hear him, Deacon Paul. Hear him, Dr. Mark. Hear him, Bob. Hear him, Forrest. Hear him, Dennis. Hear him, Rudy. Hear him. And you put your name in there. Do you believe you should listen to the voice of God? We have the Word of God for our hearing. Hear him. Will you listen? Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Weary about our eternal soul, tired of trying to work our way to heaven, yet failing. Jesus said, come, for I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. We live in a society that is trying to silence God. We live in a society that says there is no God. We're here by accident. We live in a society that says, well, we better eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Yet the Lord tells us how we're to live. And he tells us how we're to die, having our faith in Jesus Christ. Shall we stand together? We're going to sing a song of invitation in just a moment. It's entitled, Is Your All on the Altar? Have you put all on the altar today? Have you given him your life? Have you given him your soul? Are you willing to hear him? Follow him. Give yourself over to him. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this time of invitation, we ask, Lord, that you would bless it. We ask, Lord, that the Spirit would move and touch hearts. Lord, that we would be willing to say yes to you. Lord, we ask that your will be done at this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving. Amen.